Well, good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Hey, this, well, it's the middle of the month, October 15th. Hey, if it was March, it'd be the Ides of March. Maybe it's the Ides of October, but that's what today is, October 15th. And so I want to welcome you here. And let me make sure all the CDs are turned off. Yeah, there we go. And anyway, thanks for tuning in. Phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. And got a couple scripture verses I thought I'd share with you tonight. A little bit out of Daniel. No, not his prophecy, not the 70 weeks, not the 70 weeks. No, I'm not going to talk about that. But there's a little backstory in Daniel that I think is kind of interesting and applicable for today. I think so anyway, so we'll see if we can maybe talk about that a little bit. And like I said, we'll have the phone lines open, but we're going to open up with a word of prayer. I encourage you, again, that's kind of my job, to encourage you to love and good deeds, but also to encourage you, remnant, to remember to pray, to be in prayer, to start your day in prayer. How about ending your day in prayer? You know, right there when you lay in bed and you're fixing to go to sleep, you brushed your teeth and washed your face and got your pajamas on, maybe had your good night drink, whatever it is, and you're ready. Do you ever just say, thank you, Lord? Thank you for this day. Do you remember to do that? Thank you for a good day, Lord. And it's not that hard to do. And it, you know, it's something we should be doing. How about that? We should be doing it. So I hope that you are. Well, join me in prayer, won't you? Well, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all your blessings that you put upon us, Lord, from safety and travel to the health that you pour out upon your people, Lord, to the comfort that you give those that, Father, that are in need, that have lost loved ones, that, well, Father, that need comforting. And we thank you for that. We do. We thank you for your word that stands forever. Lord, your word that, Father, that comforts us, that strengthens us. And Father, that word that we need this day, here in the middle of October 2020. Father, we need your word to comfort us, to guide us and direct us, to give us wisdom, and to help us to get through these days that we're in. And so, Father, that's my prayer, is that your word guides and directs us. And Lord, we know that that word is Jesus Christ. And so that is what we pray for, Father, for the direction and the leading of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need that, Father. We need that. I say, Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome here. Holy Spirit, come and dwell within us and strengthen, guide, and direct us. And Father, I pray that for our leaders in this land. Father, be it our mayors or city or county commissioners, Father, our governors, our representatives and our senators, our sheriffs, Father, our mayors, our president, our vice president, and all those that love you, Lord, that acknowledge you. Bless them. Holy Spirit, be here with them. Guide and direct them and guide our leaders. Help them to make godly decisions, Father, that glorify you. Father, I pray for your wisdom and your words, your thoughts to be upon me tonight, that I would encourage your people to love and good deeds, and that this broadcast would be a blessing to you and to your people. I pray all this to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. The wind calmed down a little bit. We had a 100-mile-an-hour wind about 2 days ago here in Wyoming. Been a tough fall. We've got a big fire burning just to the west of us. Really no danger, I don't think, of it coming here to the Radio Ranch. It's actually calming down a little bit after 176,000 acres, and so we're thankful for that. I thought that I would kind of start off. I want to talk to you about Daniel today. Thought we'd talk a little bit about that. And, you know, as far as current events going on, oh, there's plenty. You know, we've got a new Supreme Court judge. Miss Catholic, mother of seven, that their president has appointed, and it looks like she'll be confirmed. And you know, whether you approve of that or not, being that that's how our society is today. It just is. I don't think our president really had any choice. Maybe he did. Maybe he's just going along. But I think that he had to replace Ginsburg, the Chief Justice Ginsburg, when she passed away, had to replace her with another woman. And before you condemn him for that, I'd just like to say, you know, where are the men? Where are the men that are in there? And it's because our society is against them. We understand that. It just seems to me that it's just not the time. That it's not the time. It is the times that we are living in. I'm going to talk a little bit about time tonight, because time is something that, it can change. Time can change things. But I think the time that we are in, we're getting what we deserve in the judges and in the Supreme Court as well. Now, if the people will repent and return and change, if the people's heart will change, then guess what? The leaders' hearts change. See, it works both ways. It does. It does. It works both ways. And so, plenty going on there. Oh, the election coming up in just what? Well, 15 days is Halloween. It's on a Saturday, Friday night, Saturday night. I think a Saturday night with a double blue blood full moon that hadn't happened since 1940 or 1490 or something like that. I don't care. I don't care. Let it be. It might be their high holy night, but my Christ, my Lord, is greater than that. And I won't give it any fear. I won't give it any acknowledgement. I'm not going to be out, and my children aren't going to be out trick-or-treating. No, we're going to be praying between now and then. We're going to be praying against that. We are, and I hope that you are too. See, it's a time to be in prayer. And I think that if you read through the book of Daniel, it hopefully will encourage you. It's not a very big book, but hopefully it will encourage you. There's a lot of, a lot of the 70 weeks and the Gabriel. Boy, there's a lot in there. But there is in a lot of the visions from the kings, and a lot of that was to establish Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in where they were in the time that they were in. But if you read in Daniel 9, Daniel's prayer for his people, oh my gosh, what a prayer. Maybe we'll read that pray that before the evening is out. But it is a time to be drawing closer to God. I've had people ask me, you know, boy, what, you know, Halloween, are you expecting a bunch of bad, big stuff to happen on Halloween? And I'm not expecting it, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that the beginning of November, there are going to be some big surprises. I think that a lot is going to happen the 1st of November, the 2nd of November, when the election comes. I think our president is going to win by a landslide. I'm not prophesying. You know, the pastor warned us about that. No, I've got no word from the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you that, but I just tell you what I think is going to happen. And that, and about $3 will get you a cup of coffee down at the coffee shop, okay? But I think that our president is going to get reelected, and then I think within the next week that the riots are going to come out and the attacks like we have never seen. That the riots in Portland, the 100-plus days and nights of riots, that we're going to see that all over the country. That's what I think. Now, I hope it's not. I'm praying against it, but I think that's what we're going to see. And I think that, Remnant, you want to be prepared. I think that the enemy, the powers that be, that think they be anyway, when trucking was shut down and people couldn't go out, they were non-essential. You know, those that make toilet paper, non-essential, you don't need to be there. And that disappeared off the shelf, and as ridiculous as that was. But I think that was a test run. Okay, that was I think that was a test run, and I hope that, you know, middle of November you call me up and say you just were wrong. I hope that that's how it works out. I do, but I just have a feeling, a thought that it's going to get ugly in November. I think that it is. I do. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give us a call here this October 15th. You know, in Daniel was a time of captivity, right? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had come to Jerusalem and besieged it. And verse 2 of Daniel 1, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand, along with all types of stuff, people and vessels. And so if you read through, it's interesting, I think, with Daniel, the choices that he made. Okay, the choices that he made, you know, there in Daniel 8, it says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine with which he drank. And so, you know, the story that the king had set aside Daniel and and Hananiah, Shadrach and Abednego, right? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Yeah, I'm reading it here. The king assigned those names to them. But it was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But they made up their mind not to defile themselves. See, they were there to get taught the ways of Babylon, right? And so they had no choice in that, but they did make a choice not to defile himself with the king's food or with the wine. Because they understood, some way, somehow, that God was still with them. See, they didn't think, they knew they had not been abandoned. Okay, we'll come back to this. I see the phone line's ringing, so we'll take a call. Good evening and welcome to 7x70.
Is this Richard?
It is.
Richard, I'm calling to say I think you're wrong. There's not going to be...
Well, sir, I can't. You've got a terrible... And I'm not cutting you off because you said you thought I was wrong, but I got a terrible phone connection with you. And it's just... I've tried to control it with the volume. I don't know if you can call from a landline or a better line, but I'd like to talk to you, but 307-745-5913, but I just got to... You got to have a better connection for it to work. So I encourage you, find a better connection. Give me a call back. I'll be here for the rest of the hour. And 307-745-5913. And so Daniel and these men made up their mind not to defile themselves. You can read that story. And so in chapter 2, you know, in the second year, Nebuchadnezzar had his dreams and Daniel interpreted those. Okay, and so we see that, and Daniel was looked upon with, you know, he was elevated to a place of authority by interpreting that dream. Let's try the phone lines again. Good evening, welcome to 7x70. No, I can't. That's a terrible phone line. I'm sorry. I think you can hear me. And the phone line sounds terrible over the broadcast. We're on live radio. And so if you can't have a better, you know, my office line is 742-7582. If you want to call in the morning, but you got to have a better connection. Folks, it's live radio. And you know, we monitor and you got to have a clean connection when you give us a call. You do. It's as simple as that. Well, so Daniel has interpreted the king's dream. They are being blessed by God, even in captivity, even in the times that are, you know, this is not a time of God's kingdom here, this time in Daniel. I encourage you to read through it, okay? But I think that the story of Daniel, we know Daniel in the lion's den, right? And God closes the mouth of the lions. And then Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three, they walk through the fiery furnace. We know these things are coming. But here at the beginning, and this is what I want us to understand, because I think we have fiery furnaces coming. And I think we have lion's mouths that will need things that wish to devour us, that mouths that will need to be closed. I think that's coming in the and it's on the horizon, just like it was here that we read about in the book of Daniel. Okay? And so how was Daniel able to pray and have his prayers answered and God deliver him from the lion's den? And what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How are they were in captivity. How were they able to have the faith that they did? They've been taken away from their homes. They've been uprooted. And it's right here at the beginning of Daniel that it tells us. And so I think that with what we may very well be facing, okay, with what we may very well be facing, I think it's good for us to look at this. Now, we talk a lot about faith. We talk a lot about believing and trusting in the Word and abiding in the Word. Psalms 91, right? He who dwells in the shelter will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And so we need to abide there. We have to dwell in His shelter. We have to be delivered by Him. And so you know, the Psalms 91 explains it as well. It's for those that say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. Well, that's how it was in Daniel. In the very beginning, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine. And so when you read it, it was all of them. It was Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, all of them. And they were youths at this time, young men. And they, you know, it says in verse 17, as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence and every bit of literature and wisdom. Okay? And so they were blessed because of their resolve. Now, you might say they were in Babylon, but they were not of Babylon. See, they found a way. They had to eat. They had to drink. Right? They had to do these things. But you can bet they were praying. And they were, you know, whether it was unclean foods, whatever it was, it talked about it defiling himself. And Daniel was not going to do that. And he didn't. Tell you what, let's go to a song. I need to get a drink of water. We'll be right back.
Said someday that mountain might get up, but the Lord will. He's making his way, the only way he knew how. And that was a whole lot more than what the law would allow. He's still the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He kept on fighting the system and doing what his dad said was good. Thank you.
Of Kings. And so, well, my caller, I got to talk to him for just a minute off the air, and still a very bad connection. I could barely understand him, but he disagrees with me. He doesn't think that there's going to be a problem after the election. He thinks it's going to be business as usual. And so I can respect that. That's what you think. I think something different. And it's just thoughts. Yeah, I don't have any proof. We'll just have to see what happens. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I do. I hope I'm wrong. I do. Well, in Daniel, we see that again, I think that one of the foundations, one of the predecessors to Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we know the story of them in the fiery furnace, that them getting prepared for that was them deciding not to be defiled. Now, it's not just food. I don't think it's not just food, and it's not that, well, if you follow the Bible food laws, you'll be fine. It's not that at all. But it's not being defiled by the Babylonian system. By the system. By staying true to God and His will. Even though they were in this ungodly land, in an ungodly time, that they were being tested. And you know, have you ever thought about it? What if you could do something today, maybe tomorrow, because it's a little late today. What if you could do something tomorrow that, you know, in 1,000 years, maybe 2,000 years, maybe 20, maybe 3,000 years from now, people were still talking about it and being inspired by it. Would you do that? Would you do that? And so I don't think that Daniel and these other three Hebrew youths that were in Babylon were thinking that, hey, we're going to do this and inspire people for thousands of years. But that's what happened. Because they did not defile themselves with Babylon. And again, I think we have that same opportunity because I think, like I said, I think we have fiery furnaces in our future. And I think we have the equivalent of lion's dens in our future. And we have to make sure that we are not defiled by Babylon so that we can be like Daniel and we can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and face those trials. We've been sharing with you from church and from Sunday morning and on Thursday nights, that do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you as if it was something strange. Right? That's what it tells us. It is for your what? What's it for? Why do we have these fire ordeals? Why do we have these trials and tribulations? What's it for? Why, God? Why? Do you ever wonder that? The Bible tells us what it's for, why we have these. It's for our testing. It's for our testing. You know, I've mentioned to you, I'm with the volunteer fire department down here. I think I've mentioned that a time or two over the years. And they have a saying down there, and it's not just here, but it's all over, but it's train like you work, right? Train like you work. Train like your life depends on it. Sometimes it does. But train the way, and you know, people that, say police officers, or people in the army, they train whether it's drawing a firearm or shooting or whatever it is. It's not just shooting at the range, for instance. And when we train as firefighters, it's not just pull the truck out and get the hose out and talk a little bit and spray some water and then wrap the hose up and that's it. You know, sometimes that's what we do, but we don't always train that way. And so it's for our, these things that happen are for our training, for our testing, for us to train, to practice what we're doing. Remember the parable that we read about where if we are faithful in, do you remember how it goes? If we are faithful in the little things, then we can become faithful in the big things, right? If we're given one talent or two, and we can do something with that, and we do something with that, well, then we're given more, whether it's talents or responsibilities or whatever it is. What kind of got me on this was I'd heard a blurb on was traveling a little bit, was down at the church today and doing a little yard work, and was down seeing Jason at the print shop yesterday for a minute, so traveling a little bit. And I heard just a blurb on the radio about, about relationships. And relationships take a couple things. They take time and they take testing. You know, think about a relationship that you've been in for a while. Maybe with your spouse or whoever, a friend or a business colleague or something. And you know, relationships take time, and for them to build and to be strong, they take testing. They take testing. You know, how do you get better? You test. You train. You practice, and then you test. You have to be tested. That's how it is in the Scripture. That's how it is in our relationship with Christ, in our relationship as a Christian, in our Christian walk. It takes time. It takes time to get out of old habits that maybe weren't Christian and develop new Christian habits. Okay? A relationship, a proper relationship with Christ takes time to get rid of our filthy language. To get rid of our filth, and I know Christians that, well, they claim to be Christians, and it still the language that they use is not very Christ-like. And so, see, it takes time and practice. Sometimes, fiery ordeals and trials and tribulations for our testing. And sometimes, I want to put this out to you as well. If you're having seemingly the same trial or temptation, how about that? The same temptation over and over again. Maybe the same trial over and over again. Maybe the same fiery ordeal seems to be coming up again and again. You get one fire put out and three more pop up. How many times do we talk about that? How many times do we have that in our life? We're just putting out fires. They come upon us, the Bible says, for our testing. And God is so gracious that when we fail the test, guess what He does? He doesn't just hurl a lightning bolt from heaven and say, well, you failed, bump, next, and hit the button and you fall through the floor and that's it. Saw some stupid TV show that had something on there like that. No, that's not what God does. He says, well, you didn't do too good that time. So let's try it again. And you get another test. Okay? You get another test. And so I want you to think that if this, again, if the same thing is coming up time and time again, the same not good thing, look at it as, and you may pray about it more, read your Bible more regarding it, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through it. But if you're living a Groundhog Day over and over and over again, when it comes to these fiery ordeals, these trials, these tribulations, ask, seek the answer. We have a choice that we can make, okay? And it's very contrary to how things are in this world today, to how our society is, but we can choose to humble ourselves before God, okay? We can choose to acknowledge to God that we don't have all the answers, that we don't have it all figured out, that we're not perfect, that we don't have all of our ducks in a row. My ducks have all flown away. I don't even know where they are, much less having them in a row. We can humble ourselves before God in asking for help, in asking, what is it, Lord, that you're teaching me here? What is it I need to learn about this? This fiery ordeal. And again, I want you to think about Daniel in the beginning of Daniel. When Daniel says he did not defile himself, again, it was not only just food. It wasn't just drink. But it was that of Babylon. Sometimes we have to, I think, apply that to our lives. And not... Sometimes we have to do a double check and make sure, wait a minute, are we being defiled by this Babylon that we live in? And if we are, we need to stop. We need to not be defiled. If you find yourself, you know, getting madder than a wet hen, maybe in traffic. Yeah, traffic's horrible out there. People, nobody knows how to drive anymore. You know, they think that little up and down thing on the left-hand side is just to move forward and back to flash their brights and not to use turn signals. No, nobody knows how to drive anymore. So the road rage. But if you find yourself getting caught up in that, you know, that's just an inkling just an inkling. Maybe you're getting defiled a little bit by this Babylonian system that we live in. And we're not to do that. We're not to do that. We are to choose to humble ourselves before our God. You know, maybe you need to listen to something different on the radio. Maybe you do. Maybe just turn the radio off if that's what it is. You know, and the other thing is time. We know that we're tested, and see, as we fail the tests that God gives us, we fail them. Oh, and we fail them, and I speak from experience. We fail them again, and we pray we want things to change, and then we get the test again, and we fail it again. But see, as we're doing that, that relationship with God is growing. That relationship with His Word is growing. That relationship with other Christians is growing because it's taking time. And it's taking testing. Now, if we just fail the test forever and we don't try to pass the test, if we don't try to find out why we're failing, well, we're going to keep failing. And that relationship is not going to grow like it could. You look at marriages. And many times marriages, they have a little time in them, but then the fiery ordeals come, and the Word says, don't be surprised that the fiery ordeals among you that come upon you is some strange thing. They're for your testing, and so it's almost like be ready for them, expect them, don't be surprised. Expect them. But what happens to many marriages? What happens to many families when that fiery ordeal comes? Well, that's it. I'm out of here. Maybe you were offended. Maybe you were cheated on. Whatever it is. It really doesn't matter. But the fiery ordeals. Therefore, our testing. And there's more coming, folks. There's more coming. If you look at Daniel 2, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he had his dream and he was troubled, and then you read through it the secret's revealed to Daniel, and he interprets it, and Daniel's promoted, right? Daniel's promoted. The king answered, surely your God is the God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. But then when you go to Daniel 3, that's when Nebuchadnezzar makes this image of gold, right? And says, oh, everybody's going to bow down to it. Everybody's going to bow down to it. So see, as time went on, it doesn't tell us how much time went on. It wasn't the next day. It wasn't the next day. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't, you know, praising God on Monday and on Tuesday building a 90 feet tall image of gold and making everybody bow down to it. Some studies show that it might have been 20 years later that this happened. Okay, so there's a span of time in there. But over that time, see, Nebuchadnezzar was not, he'd had an experience with God. He'd had his dream answered, but he didn't have a relationship with God like these Hebrews did. Okay? And so, you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19 of Daniel 3, was filled with wrath. Why was he filled with wrath? What made the king or the president at the time, you might say, or the leader, filled with wrath. Nebuchadnezzar was in a rage up in verse 13 and had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought and said, what's the deal here? And they answered in verse 16 and said, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, if they had defiled themselves with Babylon, you think they'd have had the cojones to be able, and the faith to be able to not just stand before the king and say that, but to live it, to believe it? They were in Babylon, but they were not of Babylon. We read that, right? That we are in this world, but we're not of this world. Now, we've got to be in it. We've got to buy gasoline for our vehicles, and we've got to pay our registrations and our taxes, and we've got to work, and sometimes we have to go to the doctor, and we're in this world, but we're not of it. We are in it, and we are to shine our light into it, like Daniel did, like these three did, but not be of it. I hope I'm making sense with that. I hope that I am. But when they told the king that, oh, the king was outraged. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire for standing up for God and not defiling themselves. Okay? Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then, I like the authors of the Bible. You know, they just put it down right there in black and white, sometimes in red. And they just tell the story. But oh, there's always so much more to it. There is. Then. So Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's won. How dare you defy me? He throws them in the fire. It even burns up his best warriors just for taking them that close. Then, verse 24, Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste, and he said to his high officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? And they replied to the king, certainly, O king. And he said, look! Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. See, he had an experience. He had an experience. I encourage you to read this. Read the whole. I don't have time tonight. We're almost out of time here tonight. Read the story. I hope that it's as encouraging to you as it is to me. You know, he acknowledges God. Now, did it continue through? No. No. See, again, it was. See, Nebuchadnezzar was just having these experiences. Okay? But he wasn't developing. He never developed a relationship, okay? And there's another lesson for us, okay? We can have these experiences, okay? God can speak to you on the jailhouse floor, okay? Or he can speak to you while you're out driving your John Deere tractor, okay? But that's not a relationship. That's an experience. God wants a relationship. He wants to walk with you in the garden like he wanted to with Adam and show you his creation. Say, hey, what do you think about this? Look here, look here what I did for you. See, he wants a relationship with his children. And we are able to have that only through Christ. When we are clothed in Christ, when we are covered by the blood of Christ, then God doesn't see our filthy sins anymore. And we are able to be holy in his presence and to have that relationship with him that takes time and testing. So I asked you that question. How would you like to do something tomorrow that, you know, people are talking about in a positive way 2,500 years later, and they're encouraged by it? And we just read what you have to do, or at least what these three Hebrews had to do. But they had that relationship with God because they had not defiled themselves. They had stayed true to him. And you know, we are to be that way. Psalm 72:15 talks about always. Don't have time. I'm running out of time. But it talks about always and all day long. And Psalm 61:8 talks about forever. And each day I will praise you and cry out to you. And Psalms 88:9 repeats that. Each day. As Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in all that I am. See, we are to bless God. We want God to bless America. We have to bless God. We have to, I think Tim mentioned it last night on Wednesday night prayer meeting, we have to prove the kingdom, live the kingdom, prove his promises, live his promises. And when those fiery ordeals come upon us, hey, we're ready for them. We're ready for them. And you know, even if maybe we haven't faced them, we can face them. And we can go through them. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can. Well, folks, running out of time tonight, running out of voice. That's about all I got tonight. That was my notes. That's what I wanted to kind of share with you. I hope that it was encouraging to you. I encourage you to read the book of Daniel, even just the first, say, the first three chapters, and see that our God is always with us. He is always with us. Well, again, thanks for tuning in. I'd like to invite you back. Come back Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be here. We'll have the phone lines on, and we're putting together a full crew so we can talk about some of the current events of the day, and we'll have the phone lines open. And so we encourage you to join us again Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. And we'd love to have you join us there. And again, thanks for tuning in tonight. If you'd like to contact us, our email is preacher@sfaw.org. Again, preacher@sfaw.org. And but you can also write to us, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. God bless.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, Almighty One. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head against your people now. they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joined their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated, and they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb, make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the winds, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation, and let them seek your name. Let them be terrified and shamed forever. And let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone. You